Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the playbook for a Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. I think this is hashtag nitpick Tuesday. I think it is. I'm pretty sure. But the Patriots at present, are poised now to finish 500 or better for a 14th straight season. They are now 11-4 after the bye under Bill Belichick. Since 2010, the Patriots are 31-3 in the second half of the regular season, weeks 9 through 17. Their last 3 weeks, oh, this is the kicker. The last 3 weeks, they've won by a combined score of 136-64. I thought this was Nitpick Tuesday. I'm not sure what there is to nitpick here, kids, but we're going to figure something out for you, and I'm sure we can come up with something, and I'm sure they're going to be working on that down the hallway as well. It's pretty tough when you dispatch your opponents the way that the Patriots are taking care of business, 42-20 on Sunday night. It didn't look like it was going to start out that way, but then it did become that way, and now this team is a pretty clear, decisive, I guess you could certainly make the case for decisive favorite in the AFC. They have defeated all three of the other current division leaders in the AFC, and they've beaten all of them fairly handily, 43-20, 43-21, 43-17. That would be Cincinnati, as Cincinnati is back on top of the North. So I'm not sure what else you do from here. Other than you figure out a way to maintain a sense of intensity, you put on your, stretch run blinders as if you were a thoroughbred horse. You don't look side to side. You look at nothing but the finish line. Nothing but the finish line. And it's going to be very hard to do that. I think we all realize it'll be hard to do that. And all of a sudden, 3 weeks ago when this, relatively, and I say that with tongue firmly in cheek now, relatively tough six-game gauntlet that the Patriots were getting ready to undertake. They've gotten through half of it with surprising ease. And again, I guess ease only in terms of the score. We know that nothing is relatively easy in this league. And as I've often described, the NFL season is really a microcosm of, or just a shrunken down version of 16 mini seasons in one. It's hard to go week to week. Every game is almost a season unto itself. And that's because the parity is so terrific in this league. Every team has players who can make plays. Everybody has coaches who can coach, at least most everybody. That any given week, anything else differently can happen. I mean, I think we've seen that. Inexplicably, you've got bad teams winning. Don't be surprised if before the season's over, Oakland at 0-10 ends up popping somebody they had no business beating. Because that's just the way it is in this league. Nevertheless, the Patriots have figured out a way to climb back from the relative obscurity of mediocrity, or worse, right back into the favorites role in the AFC, and now it certainly can be said, with 6 weeks remaining in the regular season as we embark upon week number 12 this week. 6 regular season games remaining. The road to the Super Bowl in the AFC goes through Foxborough. I'm not sure I was going to say that this year. Honestly, was not sure. Now, I'll mention it this week, although next week it'll be a little bit more important when you get start to focus on the Green Bay game. But this week, I think it's pretty clear to see that New England in the AFC and Green Bay in the NFC, with all due respect to this week's opponent in Detroit, have to be considered the favorites. Let's dial it all the way back to week one in September, shall we, kids? Kevin, do you recall who I said would be my my preseason predictions for the Super Bowl? Do you recall?
I have no idea, but maybe guessing New England and Green Bay?
Bingo.
That was mine, too.
Yeah. Okay. I bring that up to you only because I think I also thought that was what you had done. Wasn't sure, but I figured you'd remind me. Now, that may or may not mean a thing. In fact, it really doesn't mean anything. All I'm saying is that, you know, through the first month of the season, with both teams were struggling relatively speaking, it's just a, you know, we have to realize it's a long haul. It's very easy to sit here and nitpick, and we do that because by design, that's what this show does, and that's what we do as fans, and we pick on the little things, and we like to get inside and get involved with the X's and O's to see if we can't figure out how to make our team better. We're all wannabe coordinators. We're all wannabe general managers. Some of us are even wannabe players. Most of us are wannabe media members. And that's what we play here on this program. And we give you the chance to do just that, to live out, you know, whether it's a fantasy or whether it's, your fandom speaking out, or you're allowing your passion, you know, for the NFL and your favorite football team to come out and manifest itself here for a couple of hours every day or a few hours every week here on this program. This is what we provide you to do. You don't necessarily have to agree with anything that we're talking about here. And I had a nice back and forth with some, I believe they were UK Patriots over the weekend, who by and large said they couldn't stand this show. I guess they've bought into the bill of goods that the PFW guys have sold them. Well, you know what? That's fine. You know, hey, different strokes for different folks. I'm not entirely certain, you know, It was somebody who had written on, I think it was a Facebook posting about how there was no banter on this show and that somebody preferred the banter back and forth. Well, if you like talking about, you know, dirty underwear like Andy does, then I guess you're right. This show is not for you. Absolutely not. And if it's hard for you to balance your opinion on one person's opinion, mine, and not consider that mental banter, then I don't know how to help you. Plus, I would argue that we have plenty of banter on this show. Everybody who calls into this show, every email that I read, every post that I get, every tweet that I get, and every guest we bring on the show, plenty of banter back and forth. It's not just one man driving an agenda. I have questions that I ask every day. Every day. And I've got another question I'm getting ready to fire out to you today because it's all about the thought process. See, I try to think as a fan because I am a fan. I would argue that someone who's covered the NFL for a long time, and I would argue that someone who's covered the NFL at all, has to be a fan of the sport. Now, can you separate your fandom from being a journalist and going down the middle on a story and being impartial? I believe you can if you're trained to do that. But how else would you be interested in the NFL if you weren't first a fan? We're all fans. We all love football. I love football just like you love football. And there's a lot of other things that I love too, but just because, you know, I happen to sit here and host a show doesn't mean that I can or can't be a fan. Doesn't mean that I can or can't go right down the middle on a particular issue or story. I do every day. Every day. And then when I see, and this is a little bit of insight for my UK Patriots, you know, detractors who I suppose are not listening to the show, but for those in the UK who are listening and you have friends who don't like listening to the show, maybe you can pass this on to them. First of all, A, they're missing out big time. And if you've listened to this show at all, you know what I'm talking about. Number two, why wouldn't I, as someone who's trying to drive an agenda here or who's trying to present a story or however you want to term it, if I'm sensing on your end that everybody, or at least not everybody, let's say the overwhelming majority is on one side of a story, why wouldn't I present the other side in an effort to balance it out like a good journalist possibly should do? And this goes beyond just good journalism. This is also in the interest of entertainment. and in the interest of information. It's you know, you want to present both sides of the story so you, as a consumer, can decide for yourself. That's what it's all about. And if you're telling me you heard both sides of the story and you just prefer that over this, well, then that's fine. Then we'll just agree to disagree, and you can leave, and everybody will be happy. And I won't think anything of it. And I'll continue to insist you're the one missing out, especially on Thursdays when we have guys like Russell Baxter here in the playbook. You know, today Eric Friends will be in the playbook. He's joined us on Tuesdays, Nitpick Tuesdays, for the entire regular season thus far. A very astute young journalist who's covered the AFC East for the last couple of years for Boston.com and also for the Bleacher Report. And he does a really good job, not only covering the Patriots, but also following pretty closely the other teams in the AFC East. This year, the division has turned out to be better than people originally thought it would. Fans, media, people. It's turned out to be a better division. And the Dolphins right now are right in the smack dab thick of things as far as the playoff race is concerned. And Buffalo is not anywhere near eliminated just yet. And the Jets, well, the Jets are the Jets. But because they're New York, we love to pick on them. And I think New York fans understand that because they love to pick on New England all the time. It's okay. That's just what you do in a rivalry. It's just what you do. So we have him on Tuesdays, and then Wednesdays we usually go around the league with, you know, opposing media or media members from the opposing teams. A lot of times we get national people on. Last week, Rodney Harrison came in studio and visited with us. You know, then Russell goes around the league. There's not a smarter man in the NFL covering the NFL, a bigger fan of the NFL than Russell Baxter. And we have him on the program every week. So I'd argue that you're missing out. That's my first nitpick today. And I didn't even write about that one in the View from Above column. I didn't even write about that today. I've got some other nitpicks that I'll share with you. But first, before we get to the meat of the crux of the matter here on hashtag Nitpick Tuesday, question for you, because, you know, in all honesty, I started out the program with superlatives. And I did say a few weeks ago that even though, you know, in response to you, by the way, to several of you who listen to this program on Tuesdays and think we're too negative. You guys are too negative. I want to wave my pom-poms. You're too negative. Okay. I'll buy that. You want me to wave some pom-poms? I'll wave some pom-poms for you. But I'm going to try to balance it out. So for every nitpick I give you, I've decided I'm going to try to give you a superlative. And so I started out the program with three big superlatives right off the bat. 500 or better, 14 straight seasons. 11-4 now all time after the bye under Bill Belichick. And three straight wins by a combined score of 136-64. I don't know how more dominant you can get than that. So your team, come on, let me see those pom-poms shake. Woo! Yeah! Let me see them. There we go. That's better. I don't know how much more superlative you can get than that. But here's the flip side of the story. We'll jump into that in a little bit. And I want you to jump into that as well. Share with me your nitpicks. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com, the email address. And by the way, just want you to know, for those of you that are naysayers and don't feel like there's any, you know, real value or worth to this entertainment and information program, let me suggest to you that every time I come in on Tuesdays, there are always nitpicks waiting in the email inbox. There are always nitpicks posted on my Facebook page. There are always nitpicks tweeted to me. Every time. Almost every time. In fact, no, forget that. Yes, every time. There's always something waiting for me when I come into the studio. So clearly, there's a mindset that's there that I appreciate. And I do the best that I can. As I've told you always, I read them all. I try to answer as many of them as I humanly possibly can, whether they're here on the air or to you one-on-one if I can't get them on the air. Because you're a part of it. You're a big part of it. In fact, without you, there is no show. I think the first couple of years we did this show back in 2001 and 2002, we were pretty much talking to ourselves. Pretty much. At least it seemed like it was. But that's okay. You got to start somewhere. Very happy with the audience that we've cultivated here on Patriots.com over the course of the last 14 years. Patriots were out in front of it in terms of podcasting and radio broadcasting via the internet, and it's really been cool to be a part of. All right, one question that I have for you today, in addition to your nitpicks, I think we can all agree that there are two big keys to what we've seen this Patriots team surge back into contention on. And by that I mean the two obvious things that come to my mind are both on the offensive side of the football. And number one has to be the play of Rob Gronkowski at tight end. Without Gronk being Gronk, the Patriots offense can't be the Patriots offense. It can't be an offense that has averaged better than 40 points per game over the last 6 weeks during this winning streak. It can't be the offense, as I said earlier, that has three straight wins by a combined score of 136 to 64. It can't be the multidimensional, hey, just pick a target type of offense now that Tom Brady has. Or it can't be the kind of offense that, makes teams, try to come up with a special game plan. Gronk, to slow him down, Gronk opens things up for everybody. And yet, on the flip side of that, also talking about the offense, would we be where we are right now with this football team? Would the Patriots be where they are without improved play and all of a sudden continuity, chemistry on the offensive line? Think about it. What was the number one nitpick we were talking about 6 weeks ago? Had to be the offensive line, or lack thereof, play there. That and penalties. And a lot of those were being committed by the offensive line at the time. Now, I think you could make an argument that if the offensive line doesn't improve, Tom Brady doesn't have the time to find Rob Gronkowski and make him as effective as he has been over the course of these 6 weeks. And then again, Gronk has been so incredibly superhuman at times out there, where he's become maybe the single hardest player to defend in the entire NFL. We're talking MVP caliber here. That nothing else compares by comparison. Nothing else matters. So to me, I have to start at the very beginning. And to me, the improvement and the solidification of the offensive line rates a little above Gronk's play, only because I think that the offensive line is giving Brady a little more time to find Gronk and let him do what Gronk does best. But I certainly can see where Gronk's play is so overwhelming and so incredibly impressive and so unbelievably domineering, dominant. It almost defies description. And without Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots probably aren't near where they are right now. Probably wouldn't be near where they are right now. So to you, what's the bigger reason for the Patriots' resurgent success? Is it Rob Gronkowski or is it the offensive line? Pretty simple question. Love for you to make a pick. Love for you to make a stand. Love for you to have an opinion. Love for you to share with me your opinion and why you think the way you think. Webradio at patriots.com is our email. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. Don't forget to hit me up on Twitter. Love to talk to you on Twitter. Thank you for the recent followers. I even try to, send out a thank you tweet. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook. R-O-O-K-E is the spelling of the last name. Always get a few new followers every week. For those of you that haven't followed, submit a friend request. We'll answer that. We'll talk some football. Then you could post and we can chat during the shows. On my own personal Facebook page. Not a fan page. Not a nothing page. It's my personal page. So John.Rook on Facebook. Four different ways to get a hold of me here on the program. So there's no excuse not to share an opinion. No excuse not to make your feelings known. No excuse not to join in the parade. So what are you thinking? Just told you how I feel. I kind of rate the old line's improved play, and especially when Brian Stork moved back in at center, kind of solidifying that, because I always felt that Ryan Wendell was sort of undersized at center, and he was being abused a little bit, and not because he's a bad player, because he's probably just not physically equipped to handle, you know, some of the interior tackles that are there in the NFL, but playing off the center a little bit, he has a chance to, you know, defend, he has a chance to shoot the gaps, and, you know, and I gotta tell you, Stork has got a little bit of a mean streak in him, and I say that in a good sense. By the way, did you see his introduction on Sunday Night Football? You know, when they let the guys, you know, they introduce themselves and say, you know, their name and where they're from. Did you get a look at Stork's face? Did you see that Sunday night on the NBC television presentation of that? My God. That's not exactly a guy that I'd want to see, you know, in the woods wielding an axe. You know what I'm saying? Wow. That's a little scary. I'm glad he's on our team. Oh, man. But when he has come in and taken over the center position, there's a lot of, and frankly, I think there's a lot of Dan Copen in him, because Cope was kind of the same way when he first came out of Boston College, somewhat under the radar a bit as a mid-round draft choice, but a guy that, you know, came in with a great pedigree from a school that certainly turns out offensive linemen by the bucket full. And, you know, he just came in and did the job. Stork can be that and much more than that. And he allowed both Dan Connolly and Ryan Wendell to settle into more natural positions at guard. And now that Dave DiGuglielmo, the offensive line coach, who was certainly the brunt of some of the criticism early in this season, as we've all talked about here, he's had a chance, and this offensive line has had a chance to all get on the same page, to rework, retool some of the fundamentals Coach Googs' way. And he is the coach, so it should be his way. And these guys are pros, and they're paid to do what the coaches ask them to do, and so they should be doing it that way. Or at the very least, they should be finding a happy medium. The coach should realize, okay, this is what my guy can do well and what he can't do well, so you need to play to your player's strengths. And I think there's been a sort of meeting of the minds between the guys on the offensive line and Coach Cooks. I believe that, and it's just taken time. And we said 6 weeks ago that it was a process that was going to have to continue to take time, but now rather than later, otherwise this team was going to go, you know, down the toilet unless they took immediate action. And they just kept plugging away. To their credit, we got to give them credit where credit's due, because we tore them down 6 weeks ago, and now's the time to give them the kudos. To their credit, they kept plugging, and they kept working. And you're not seeing Nate Solder whiff as much on speed rushers. You're seeing Sebastian Vollmer, knock on wood, stay healthy, learn to stay on the field. And he too also not necessarily whiffing on speed rushers around the right end. And you're seeing the Patriots recognize their weaknesses in some places on that line. And they put that to the most unbelievable test this past Sunday night, when they decided that the best way to beat the Colts was by punching them in the mouth right up the middle. It's how they did it in the playoffs a year ago. We talked a little about that last week, and that's what they did this week. And they added the extra tight end slash tackle in Cameron Fleming, the rookie from Stanford. And they went heavy. They did the heavy package, and the Patriots absolutely obliterated the Colts front. And Jonas Gray had a day of a lifetime. To the point, by the way, which I believe in the American issue, not in the Canadian issue, but I heard earlier today on the radio, on the American issue of Sports Illustrated this week, Jonas Gray is on the cover. Think about that for a second. Jonas Gray. It was just 3 or 4 weeks ago that we were talking to him in the Putnam Clubhouse. And usually the Patriots players that are available inside the Putnam Clubhouse after home games to speak to the fans, and I'm usually up there as sort of an interviewer to help, facilitate the process as a bonus to our club holder and season ticket holders after games here at Gillette. Usually it's the younger guys on the team that come up there because the media demands are such on the older guys that they're just not available. So you try to go for A, the younger guys, and B, the younger guys that have pretty good performances because they're available. And Jonas Gray was available. And now, 2-3 weeks later, 199 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns, matching the entire total of the rest of the league on a given Sunday. 4 rushing touchdowns, which is phenomenal. And it couldn't happen to a nicer kid. And these guys are now, you know, targets. They're heroes. And I would argue that, well, playing in New England and playing in that spotlight and playing for this organization that has been up high as it has been over the last, you know, decade and a half now, I would argue that that kind of comes with this territory. This is why guys want to play here. This is why Darrell Revis came here. This is why Brandon Browner came here. This is why Brandon LaFell, JoJo LaFell, he introduced himself, by the way, Sunday night as JoJo LaFell. Love that. That's why these guys come here. Yeah, the money is good, and the money may be equal to or a little bit better than in some other instances. But they're like, nah, I'd love, you know, hey, all things being equal, I'm going to go play in New England. Why? Because New England's going to give me a chance to win. These guys want to win. Money is great. The living is fantastic. The status is wonderful. Champions are remembered forever. No one remembers who came in second. Champions are remembered forever. The only team, I think, maybe in recent memory, and maybe even in the distant future memory to come, that'll be remembered for losing will be the 07 Patriots because they were 18-1. That's the only one. And you can certainly make an argument that was one of the most painful losses in Patriots franchise history, and losing that Super Bowl to the Giants as they did. But other than that, no one really remembers the losers. Everyone remembers the bling. And that's what these guys are about. And you've got some hungry guys again, younger guys that have not been a part of this. As we pointed out over the last couple of weeks, half of this game day roster was not even in the NFL when the Patriots made their last Super Bowl appearance just 3 short years ago. So this is a changeover of a roster. There's a few veterans here, but there's some hungry guys here as well that want to win. And that also includes some other veteran players. That's why they came here, money notwithstanding. All right, what say you as far as the question of the day? What's been the bigger reason for the Patriots' success? Gronk's reemergence or the offensive line's new and improved play? 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Phone lines are loading up. Let's get it started with Todd in Toronto. Hey, Todd, you're in the playbook.
Yeah, my first and only really nitpick right now is, man, you never took your meds this morning.
What?
You, John, but you were ranting like a madman.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I like to rant.
I know you do. That's why I call you and leave those, you know, other boys, those previous boys, those children, you know, in that other show.
That's right. Men step up here because men have to do it on their own. You got to go solo. If you can't go solo, you can't rely on other people to carry your opinion. You got to establish an opinion and stick to it.
Yep. Anyway, what I got to say is my nitpicks are pretty small.
Yeah.
But there's something that's missing in our team, and it's our vets. I don't know if it's maybe they're just saving themselves or something, but I don't see, like, Wilfork. Haven't seen him make that, you know, one big play that he makes usually every game. You know, whether he's causing a butt fumble or he's, you know, all of a sudden he's intercepting something up in the face of him. He's just kind of disappeared. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I don't think he's necessarily disappeared, Todd. I would tell you that he's doing the job that's asked of him. He's taking on a couple of blockers usually.
Yeah.
He's filling the gaps, and this Patriots defensive line is stopping the run. They have figured, right? You remember right after Gerard Mayo got hurt, this team was as porous as we've seen them in the last 3 years, and we've seen some porous defenses the last couple of years here.
Oh, yeah, you and I agreed on that in the previous call, totally. We were like, But just there's something about Wilfork's leadership that I've noticed that when it's on, that defense, it takes it even to one more level.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe it's just me that in my perception. Maybe I'm too much like a John Rook and I just find shit. I could very well.
Wow. You think that's what I do? I'm just a bleepster. Is that all?
Well, join the club.
Okay.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We'll total our tea and call the Brits out whenever we feel like it, type thing.
That's also true.
What I liked was the running game. You and I talked about that, and I said I really felt we needed a running game to go into the playoffs.
Yeah.
What do you think about having Blunt and Gray in the backfield?
Well, you led me into my next question, because I think, as we all know, if you were listening at all to PFW, or if you've been paying attention to the internet or Twitter or whatever, within the last hour and a half, Pittsburgh released LeGarrette Blount, and we talked about that a few weeks ago before the trade deadline. Would he be a guy that would be worth going after? Now, in light of the fact that, you know, Jonas Gray had the superb day that he had on Sunday night, I'm not so sure that everybody is going to step up and say, oh yeah, we got to do it. Got to do it. I think that it should be an idea that's kicked around, at least internally. It would not hurt me at all to see them pick him up, because listen, we all know that, you know, injuries can happen, unfortunately, at the snap of a finger. So what I would love to see, especially when it comes to the cold and nasty weather, and listen, Todd, I cannot stress this enough.
Yep.
If and when, and it's probably more likely when we get bad weather here in Foxborough in December, and, oh, yeah, in January when playoffs come rolling around, to have the ability to grind an opponent into the snow and the ice with backs like Gray and Blount again would be priceless.
Yeah, see, that Paul Perillo person, he's got that passing on the brain a little bit too much. I still think in this league you need to have some really semblance of a solid running game. You don't have to have, you know, something killer, but it's needed, and especially in the playoffs, like you just said. If we're gonna have home field advantage, well, let's have the advantage, right?
I could not agree more. I would be in favor of going out and getting Blount, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, Blount's been here, and so I don't think that whatever internal strife that he was accused of causing in the locker room in Pittsburgh, I don't believe that would be a problem here, because A, the Patriots know him, B, he knows the Patriots, and then C, on top of that, I'm sure the Patriots would say, look, LeGarrette, if we bring you in here, that's all fine and good, but this is your role. Can you accept it?
Well, and I think he would, because he knows the system. So on to the one thing that you asked, your big question, your keys.
Yes.
I think you've got some good points there, but I think the real keys are those coaches are finally they're finally looking and knowing what they got. I think it took them a while for them to really figure out this team. I think the coaches, like the rest of us, made a lot of assumptions about who could do what and how things could work. And they put people in places where they thought they could be successful, and it wasn't. And that's my big turnaround for this season.
Okay.
This is coaching. I think the coaching, they smartened up.
Well, Todd, you know what? That's an interesting point, and I can't disagree with that, because I would agree with you that I think the coaching staff realized, okay, maybe we have a little different team than we originally thought we had.
Yeah.
So because of that, we must adjust. And I think that they have done a pretty good job of adjusting. And, you know, of course, you know, Bill Belichick and some of the assistants, Patricia and McDaniels in particular, also mentioned during that opening month that things were going poorly. So we got to do a better job of coaching. So they did take it upon themselves to work on that, and apparently they've done that.
Yeah, I think that, and they, you know, it's starting to show. And when your coaches are confident in you, your level of play goes way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're seeing. I think we're seeing that the team is just, you know, they're confident in each other, but they're confident in what their coaches are calling. You know, one last nitpick that I want to get in. Brady, I think he needs to just, during, you know, these time spaces, he needs to do less studying of the opponents, and I think he needs to get into the sauna or something, because, I don't know, man, he needs to learn to relax, because he looked frayed in that first half again. That happy feet, oh my God, I'm going to die look.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. That's a good one. I mean, Brady was one of my nitpicks this week in the view from above, and I think it was an obvious one to pick at. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. I don't think he's over the hill. I still think he can play. I don't think we have any worries like that right now, because he's got, you know, A, more confidence in the weapons that he has around him, and B, the offensive line is certainly giving him improved play in front of him. But for some reason or another, he just seemed he's the one that's responsible for that second pick, because he audibled out of that play,
and
even said in the postgame that was a dumb play.
Yeah, because he audited the play. They didn't have the formation for him to be protected in the pass, and he looks up, and he's going to get clobbered.
Yep.
He hands that ball off, and there was a hole there for Jonas to go up for at least 4 yards.
All he had to do was just stick to the game plan, and unfortunately, he just sort of overthought the situation. I don't blame him, you know, because he's one of the best at switching gears like that, but that one he just flat out overthought.
Yep.
And I think in this particular instance, Tom needs to have a little more confidence in the game plan.
Yep, that's exactly it. Well, John, as always, great to talk to you. You know, make sure those buggers from PFW give you some food these times.
Thank you. People call in and say
they were buying food for you, too.
And by the way, I want it noted on the record, and I did say this at the end of PFW, I brought cranberry bread for Miss Robin for those guys today. Okay, so next time, you know, they don't leave any food, I'm going to call them out again.
Okay, take care, John.
See you, Todd. All right, let's go to Sweden. Lars is in Sweden. Lars, how are you today?
I'm fine, and you, John?
I'm excellent today. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for putting me on the air. I think the story of Sunday is Jonas Gray, I mean, in this offensive line, of course, but, I mean, he scored 4 rushing touchdowns on the goal line. It was very impressive. I thought he was a force, and he needed some help, of course. I mean, I don't think practice squad players, they have a lot of reps in practice. What do you think, John?
Yeah. I mean, he is a guy that, you know, we all thought that at some point was going to get a chance because we had seen him play during the, training camp and during the preseason and thought that there was some burst there. And you were cautiously optimistic because he was running largely against second and third teamers, but he certainly was running strong. And you liked the way that he stuck his nose in there and he hit the hole hard and fast, kind of like Stephen Ridley does, except he had apparently and still does, I think, more power capabilities than Ridley does overall. That being said, the main reason that he hadn't really had much of a chance in his previous couple of stops is because he was injured. So he had spent like his entire rookie year trying to basically rehab, you know, the ACL that he tore when he was at Notre Dame. Now that he's healthy, he just had to bide his time and wait for his chance. And when Ridley got hurt, unfortunately, one guy goes down, next man up. We all know, we've heard that saying before. It happened with him. And he took advantage of the opportunity, knowing all along he had to bide his time until he got that chance, and eventually, if you hang in there, you'll get your chance. He got it. And we talked about that when we were talking with the season ticklers about 3 weeks ago when he came up for a post-game visit, and I just said, what was the process like for you? And he said, look, I won't lie to anybody, it was frustrating, but I always knew that, you know, and the coaches kept reminding me, we like you, you're going to get your chance. Just keep working hard, and it's going to happen for you. And it just happened to happen like a couple of weeks after that. So it happened sooner rather than later. And usually in this league, as volatile as it is going to happen at some point in time. And that's why it's incumbent upon, you know, a young player, professional player, to be ready when his chance comes, because you don't know if you'll ever get that chance again. So you got to applaud him for being ready and for answering the bell.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, he really, this running game now makes gives another dimension to this offense that was already scoring so many points these last 5-6 games. And on defense, Revis, I mean, he is really helping out the other players, of course, around him. But he is making a huge difference, even though they have, you know, D-Mac and Browner and Eric in the slot, but. I mean, it's hard nowadays to defend the shotgun formation, but he's playing as well as any other corner in the league right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to say you're correct, Lars, and Revis was taking his own fair share of criticism earlier in the year, as just about everybody else was, and part of the reason for that is because he was only playing the way the Patriots wanted him to play. And in the end, this is part of the previous caller, Todd in Toronto, when he's saying the coaches smartened up, and I think this is one of those examples, realizing that, you know what, he really can't do this, we shouldn't do this, we're much better in man because of the individual talents of some of these guys, and so that's the way we got to go. So whether or not it was by game plan to allow the rest of the defense to catch up, or whether it was just sort of a miscast idea, only the coaches really know the answer to that. But whatever the case is, what they've decided to go with about 6 weeks ago is working, and they'll stick with it.
Yeah. I just have one more question about
sure.
the NFC. I'd ask you the other day, but now, you know, with a banged-up Romo, the Cardinals, they lost Palmer, Seahawks and Niners having some issues. Who would be your number two team next to Green Bay right now?
I think it still has to be Arizona. Really? Yeah, only because, you know, right now they've got the best record overall in the NFL. I still think that it would be Arizona. In fact, if I were going to do a power poll, I'd put Arizona number one because they've got the best record. You can only beat the teams that are on your schedule. Can't do anything about the teams that are either not on your schedule or you don't play. You only can beat the teams that are on your schedule. The ultimate proof is going to come in the postseason tournament.
Yeah.
But I would still have Arizona 1, and I'd put the Patriots 2, and I'd have Green Bay 3 overall. Now, I realize that's not the way that a lot of these so-called power polls go right now. I even understand why in a few of them the Packers have jumped over the Patriots. I get it. It's no big deal. It's totally no big deal.
No, it's no big deal. We're not playing Arizona this year. Maybe we will play in Arizona.
Well, I guarantee you this, that would truly be, you know, an obstacle to overcome. However, the Patriots have already proven this year that taking on a contending team in their building is no big deal. They've already proven that it's no big deal.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, thanks for taking my call, and see you next time, baby.
Thanks, Lars. I appreciate your taking the time today. Lars in Sweden. Let's get Marco in St. Louis in here. Marco, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Marco, how's it going?
Oh, I was doing fine. I was calling today to just weigh in on the fact that this tight end that we picked up, right?
Yeah.
I really believe if we can get him very active and get him going, I don't know if we need to just go look at some old footage and just check out Hernandez to see how he used to just be scripted in all the offense. If this guy could just get there to that point, I think we would pretty much be unstoppable. I think that would help out the issues with, like, even that we worry about the offensive line. Like, we know that, like right now we're happy about the situation that they're blocking. But I believe that we can get that super threat at tight end to help out Grunt. I just believe.
Well, Marco, I'm not sure what you're. I'm not sure what you're looking for because I'm watching it on NFL Network right now, and he just caught his fourth touchdown pass of the season when he caught that one from Brady against the Colts on Sunday night. He's not the same type of receiver that Aaron Hernandez was. He's a different receiver. He's more of a wideout than he is a true blocker. And it was the other way around for Hernandez, who was a little bit more of a physical player. And, you know, they even lined him up in some H-back, if you'll recall, you know, out of the backfield. So he's just a different kind of guy. He, you know, took a fair share of snaps. I think he was in on roughly half the snaps. So I'm not sure what more they can ask for him of him other than what they're already asking of him. Brady has several options at his discretion. So if you want to blame somebody for not targeting him enough, well, then you got to look at the quarterback. But then he's got Edelman to throw to. He's got Amendola, who's come around of late. He's got, you know, the most indefensible target in Rob Gronkowski to throw to. Brandon LaFell has shown he's got very strong hands and the ability to go get a ball as opposed to wait for the ball to come to him. I mean, you got some guys here that have proven themselves now to be very, very worthy targets. And Tim Wright's actually turned out to be, I think, a nice complimentary piece.
Okay. Well, I did like that point you made earlier about Blunt.
I think that I would not be adverse to them going out and getting him. Now, I don't know that they're going to do that. They may decide what they have is enough right now. But, and you know, still, if they did it, I would welcome it. I don't think it would harm, you know, this locker room in any form or fashion. I think the Patriots wouldn't sign him unless he understood his role was going to be as a part-time player. His role is going to be basically most likely to back up what Jonas Gray has earned already. If he can accept that, then I would welcome it. If he can't accept that, then there's no reason to bring him in.
Makes sense. Well, we got our foot. I mean, the door is wide open, man. We just got to push the pedal and go.
That's exactly right. As I said earlier, Marco, you're 110% right. You got to treat this as like you're a thoroughbred horse. You got to put blinders on. You got to look at the end. You got to look at the end line. You got to look at the finish line. Don't look at all the noise that's going on around you. You got to completely stay focused on getting to the end, and that's what this Patriots team now has to do because they have gone from the hunter to the hunted very, very quickly, and it will stay that way over the next 6 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, man. That was my only thing. I would like to see us in a throwback jersey. But
I would too.
It's just a little bitty.
I would too. Hey, Marco, I'm right there with you. I'd love to see the throwbacks again. I hope that they, you know, decide to break them out at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Green Bay games sounds lovely.
That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? That'd be a good one. By the way, the Packers throwbacks are also ugly, just like the Steelers. Ugly.
Yes, they are.
They're very ugly. I think we could outclass them in that department with throwbacks.
Yeah. Well, the guys deserve it. They've been putting in a lot of hard work these weeks, though. So.
That's true.
I mean, I'm happy. We're winning.
That's all you got to be happy with. Thanks, Marco. Appreciate that. Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm doing good, too.
Excellent.
The win. Only little nitpick I got, man, is I just wish to get a little bit more of a pass rush. Because, like previous caller said on the previous show, you know, Luck had just a little bit too much time to bounce around in the pocket.
That's true.
You know, and I understand they're trying to keep him inside the pocket. You know, they got to him a couple times, but it should have been more, a little bit more than that.
That's true.
But further than that, I think, like the other guy said, the first caller, I think it's the coaching, the line, and Brady have more comfort than the rest of his weapons. And I don't see them have more comfort than anybody else in a long time.
Yep.
You know, like throwing to LaFell, throwing to Amendola, throwing to Timms, you know, and Wright. And other time, he'd be sticking to Gronk, Elliman. When Brandon Lloyd was there, he tried, you know, to him a couple times, and they looked everybody else's way.
Sure.
So I got to give, you know, foremost that the most.
Yeah.
Know? But but them UK people, man, me and them, we don't have some words too, John. So I wouldn't pay them no attention. Like I told them, you didn't like football until they started playing in England. Probably know what it was about either way.
Now, this is American football. It isn't that, you know, F-U-T-B-O-L football that, you know, they claim to have the rights to. By the way, what did the English England soccer team do in the World Cup this last year? I forgot.
I don't know, sir. I don't play that much attention to soccer. I like real football. I like to put the pads on, strap down, and show you manhood.
Yeah.
Hitting with your head, a little short song. Walking around wearing your pom-poms, you know. No, I'll probably get some more hate mail from UK, but I don't care. Like I
That's all right. Careful, though, Eldridge. I don't want you to show me too much manhood, brother.
Okay. But I would love to have Blunt, honestly.
Yeah.
Because great, Jonas Gray, you know, I read the little thing afterwards, you know, the little interview he gave. No, that was after the game.
Yeah.
The interview he gave where he said, you know, it's good because, Baltimore and everybody used him as a tackling dummy.
Yeah.
So he learned to run hard through that. And, you know, when he was on the squad and he's getting his chance. Yeah, but I want to keep him a little fresh, too. He ran 33 times for 199 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping Bill would give the ball to him one more time, let him break the record. That's what I was hoping.
I know. But that just proves to you, it absolutely proves to you that the Patriots just don't care about numbers.
No, they don't. They just care about the W.
That's right. That's right. Otherwise, you know, if somebody had known that he was that close, I guarantee you he'd have gotten the ball one more time.
Yes, sir. I think so, too. You know, I think so, too. And I was just hoping that. And then my other thing, like I said, I think it's just a variety of all of us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Coaching, the line, Gronk. And Gronk does make everybody a little bit better, you know. And we do have a little bit something on the outside we ain't worried about, but this year,
yeah,
I'm looking good. But that line, I want to see what they really made of come Sunday when they go against one of the best lines, defensive line.
Sure.
With Sue and all them.
Sure.
I want to see it then. And if it continues then, John, all that I want to worry about is going to be like Terrell Davis said. He gives the Patriots 100% up. After that thrashing of the Colts Sunday night,
right?
He said, man, I got to get up to New England. They're the number one team. And they're talking about, you going to take them over your Broncos? He said, yeah. He said, Jonas Gray is a back that reminds me of one of them old school backs. The more you feed him, the more he go. And he said, they got a running game now. He said, after that one performance, they got a running game now.
Right.
And that shocked me, coming from Terrell. That shocked me. And I'm like, okay, but you get Blunt to back him up or get his carry like he did with Ridley, and then everything else, I think it's Super Bowl. And I won't say that now.
Ooh, all right. Eldridge, you're stepping out. Don't jinx us.
No, I'm not jinxing. But I'm just looking. All depends on how they play Sunday, their line. You know, if they can handle what you call them,
yep.
That's what I'm like, okay, if they handle Detroit, and that thing with Paul told said, Detroit can't score. I'm like, who the hell are you looking at? Detroit
right.
played Arizona.
Right.
And Arizona, to me, is the second best team in the NFL.
Right.
Right now.
Yeah.
First best can be my Pats. But the second best is going to be Arizona. Because Arizona got a defense. They got some receivers that can go deep. They got a running game, and they got a line, and they got Drew Hansen. Ain't no joke.
I'll buy that. I think they're at least adequate with Hanson. Sure, I'd buy it. And then, like I said, you got to look at the entire body of work, and I think that Arizona deserves to be there with only one loss. That's the best record in the league right now.
Right, and just like the coach said, shoot, we're playing in our hometown.
Yep.
That'd be the first team to play the Super Bowl, be in the Super Bowl in our home stadium.
I think that'd be amazing. I think that'd be totally amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be amazing. It'd be tough to beat them.
Right.
I think they could
stand up to it very well. Eldridge, that's a good job out of you today. Noel in Denver, you're up next here in the playbook. Hey, Noel.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Great today. How cold is it in Denver today?
Oh, it's warm. It's 49 degrees.
Oh, my God, it's balmy. Break out the sandals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My best friend called me from Arizona where he retired. He still lives there. He's a huge Bronco fan. He says, when you come to the Super Bowl here, he says you can stay at my house.
Nice. Nice. Hey, does he have room for one more?
Well, I'll check when I'm there. My wife and I are going in December 7th for the weekend with him, but he called up and he says, wow, he was disgusted. Also, it was my birthday on Sunday. I loved it. What a great happy birthday. The Broncos lose and the Pats wins. Can't be any better than that.
Oh, try not to rub it in too great there, you know, because you could get yourself in trouble. And I want you to stay safe in the Mile High City.
I don't. I'm a New Englander, so I'm naturally aggressive. These people here are passive aggressive.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're only in your face when they win.
Oh, see, I hate that. You know, if you're going to be in somebody's face, you need to be in somebody's face all the time.
Well, they had to tell Sergio Brown that.
By the way, and again, that's another topic we haven't really gotten to yet today, but is there really a stupider guy on the face of the planet than Sergio Brown right now?
Yeah, RG3. Did you hear his comments?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I can understand that. But honestly, knowing RG3 just a little bit, I can't believe in all seriousness that he's really guilty of all that. I failed to believe it. Now, if he's turned prima donna on us all, then shame on him. But that's not the impression that I ever got from the guy.
Well, he said, I don't know if you heard that particular one, but he said, all elite quarterbacks need a team around them. In other words, he's putting himself in the same place that Brady and Manning are.
Yeah.
Calling himself a league quarterback. Well, anyway, that's another story for another day. But my only nitpick, and I guess it's always that way with Josh, and I don't know if Brady changing the plays up on the line, but when you got a third and two, and you got a running back that's running the ball, run the damn thing.
No question. No question.
I don't know how you feel about that.
They overthought it. Yeah, and that was, you know, I think the the first pick was a play call. The second pick, the worst one, was actually an audible. And again, I could be wrong about that, but that's what it appeared to me to be based on Brady's, mechanics going up to the line of scrimmage. Listen, you know what's working. I know you try to sometimes throw a little curveball in there every once in a while because, you know, if you keep throwing fastballs, eventually somebody's going to clock you. But, in this particular instance, man, you know, they have yet to stop you. So why don't you keep going with what's going? And that is a good nitpick. That's probably as good as any for the chief nitpick of the week.
Well, that's the only one I have for today. And there's other options. There's a short pass to Marine or somebody else. I mean, there's so many ways they didn't have to go deep on that play.
No, they didn't. They didn't. But they did get Vereen on a wheel route later in the game.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
Yeah, that was very nice.
I just love this team, and I'll leave you with this, and I'll listen to your thoughts on it. I watched the Patriots since 1960, and I watched all their winning years and everything else. And I thought Belichick's coaching job was the best there was last year with a lot of injuries and very little to work with. But what he has done with this team and the patience they've had putting this team together, it's going to get better. That's what's so scary, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, and that's something that's also making me really look forward to the next month of this season. You know, the fact is that you really want to, now that you've seen this team, you know, grow and improve over the course of the last 6 weeks, you realize that they're not all the way there yet. This team can be better than what we've seen over the last 6 weeks, and that's incredibly exciting as a football fan.
Absolutely. I picked them to win this game, that game 38-17. I wasn't too far off.
No, you weren't.
I need one of those magazines.
Understood. You got to keep plugging. And by the way, for those that might be just tuning in, again, and something else I haven't gotten to today because we have the phone calls here, but nobody picked 42-20, so we keep pushing it over to next week.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Great.
No, you bet, Noah. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
You bet. Nobody picked 42-20. We had a lot of close scores. We had 38-17, as Noel said. I think we had a 38-20. I think that was the closest. I think somebody had 38-20, but nobody had 42-20 out of all the scores that I went back and checked briefly earlier today. Not that I could tell. So looks like we push ahead to another week. Robert is in Texas. Where in Texas are you, Robert?
Clifton.
Excellent. Welcome back. How's it going? How's it going, Mr. Clifton?
All right. No college football today, right?
Only if you want to.
No.
How about my Longhorns?
Like I said, I was hoping you wouldn't bring up college football. I know I brought it up, but I was sitting there thinking, I'm calling in. You better not bring it up.
Hey, Robert, it's got to happen now, right? It's got to happen. We need Texas and Texas A&M in that Texas Bowl in Houston, don't we?
Yeah.
Got to happen, right?
Sure, sounds good.
I hope it happens. I'm really saying silent little prayer to the college football gods that somehow this one happens. I don't think the Aggies want any part of the Longhorns right now.
Right. Well, I just called in. I only had two nitpicks, really.
All right, go.
Obviously, one was we're having problems with tight ends.
Yeah.
Over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, Browner. A lot of people have said Browner's coverage was kind of suspect this week.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that. It's kind of been an ongoing problem, the problems with the tight ends over the past couple of weeks, even though, like I said, we're getting it done still, so no big deal. That and the stopping the run's been decent, but there's still not really any pass rush. We're not really getting to the quarterback. I think that could be a little nitpick. And like I said, it's kind of slim pickings this week.
Sure.
But that's pretty much it.
Those are both legitimate. They're both, worth talking about. That's what nitpicks are. We're just kind of, picking at things that, could be improved, but necessarily don't have to be improved. But it did seem to me in my second nitpick after Brady was the number one, my second nitpick, this week was the fact that they didn't seem to leave a guy like Fleener in coverage a little bit. I think that was largely due to game plan because they were so, I think, ensconced with Dwayne Allen, but then Allen, and involved with Allen trying to defend him. But when Allen left the game with a bad ankle early, that sort of changed things a little bit. And the Patriots largely moved some coverage over to assist on a guy like T.Y. Hilton and assist on Reggie Wayne. And so they kind of figured, well, I think, Fleener can be handled by someone by just Browner. So I think that left him a little bit isolated, and they never really changed the game plan. They could have. I think they chose to go another direction. And as it turns out, Fleener being open, he was open, but he did not end up hurting the Patriots too terribly. And I think you're just kind of willing to pick your poison in this particular instance, and I think the Patriots picked the proper poison.
Yeah, don't give up the big play.
Right. And they did that especially with Hilton. They kept him in front of him all night long, and that's why Hilton didn't burn him.
Yeah, well, that was pretty much it.
Good stuff.
All right.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate that. Chad is in the ATL. Hey, Chad.
John, how's it going?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good win.
Absolutely.
The only mystic I have since the game was actually pretty good, and we didn't really have too many bad things go on. I didn't think it was going to be with some of these fans to call in. And I'm not going to, call anyone out specifically, but I just think there's a bit of nostalgia going on. I mean, we've got a lot of people that want Tim Wright to be Hernandez, or they want, Tim to be Randy Moss. And it's not going to happen, I mean, those guys are good. Those guys are done. You're not going to have, Aaron Hernandez come back. I mean, Tim Wright wears the same number, but he's not going to be here. These guys are trying to go out, make a name for themselves. And I don't think it's fair to them. I don't think it's fair to, everybody else to just try and put them up on this pedestal. to make them, you know, the tight end duo of 2010 or make it Randy Moss of 07. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And Brady's not going to be the perfect Brady of 07 either.
Right.
So let's get off of him and expecting all this perfection, because it's not going to be there. You know? I mean...
Well, Chad, I think it's pretty simple that, you know, sometimes fans get carried away. When you get caught up in the momentum of success, which this team is having a run of right now, it's easy for fans who are, I don't want to say less educated, but maybe not as close to it as some others. It's easy for them to get caught up in the swirl of it all without realizing, you know, probably what all goes into this. And it's really nothing more complicated than that. I don't blame people for getting caught up in it. That's what fans are supposed to do. Fan, again, is short for the word fanatic. So it's okay to kind of go off the deep end about some things and not be totally rational or reasonable about certain, you know, arguments or certain, you know, situations that's come up just because, you know, they probably don't follow it as closely as you or other fans or someone like myself or Kevin or whomever. They just, you know, it's just the way it is. And that's one of the things that I love about this particular program is that no matter, you know, what your opinion is, everybody has an opinion just like everybody has a belly button, all right? But it's different. Everybody's is different. And so in this program, no matter how silly or how stupid or how irrelevant I really personally think your opinion might be, I'm still going to let you be heard because, frankly, it just might start another conversation. And that's what this is all about, starting conversation.
Yeah, you're right. And I like your show, John. I love your show. I've been listening for years. And all those, you know, people across the pond that called in or, you know, you were having that discussion with saying that, you know, your show was not as good as, you know, the PSW show or whatever. They can all, you know, just go jump off a cliff. They can all go eat some crumpets, you know.
Well,
but.
Yeah, I don't really compare the shows in terms of what's better. You know, the PFW guys do what they do very well because they've been covering the team for a long time. I also have been covering the team for a long time. In fact, I believe I've been covering it as long, if not longer, than individually than both Fred and Paul. Certainly been covering it longer than Andy and Eric. But that really doesn't matter. What matters is their forum is a little different than my forum. And so I think that's why we have a great, unique mix here in providing the overall programming that we have. Because if you want to be a part of the pom-pom waving club, jump right on in with PFW. And if you like the, you know, the sophomoric humor from time to time, and we all have fun with that from time to time. We even lower ourselves to their standards on a rare occasion here inside the playbook, which is fine. But that's what it's all about. It's all about having fun and providing a little bit of entertainment. I don't have any problem with that at all. All those guys do what they do. I think they do it pretty doggone well. We just do a little bit different thing. That's all.
Yeah, you have your own identity. That's actually the same thing I was talking about with the players. You know, these players are going to be different than, you know, players that we had in the past. And I just wanted to, you know, let these fans, you know that you're not going to have like the Randy Moss that you had back in the 70s. You're not going to have the Hernandez that you had. That's all I was trying to get across. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Everyone has their own opinions, but, yeah, let's let Tim Wright be Tim Wright, and let's let Tim be Tim, and let's just enjoy the rest of the season.
What are your thoughts on the question that I asked, Chad, about, you know, which has been a bigger factor in the improvement, Gronk or the O-line?
Well, I'm going to have to say the O-line, because if you don't fix the O-line, then, you know, Gronk's not going to have the opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's exactly my take on it. But I understand, though, why some would, you know, obviously say, well, it's got to be Gronk because he's just simply spectacular. You know, and yeah. it's been an amazing, you know, resurgence by him. But when you get right down to it, I think each has had their own significant contribution to, you know, this team averaging 40 points a game over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I'd like to go back and see, you know, when Stork actually did take over to actually see how much Gronk improved and Brady improved. I'd like to actually see the stat on that, but
I think it's pretty close. I don't think he was right there at the beginning of the win streak. I think he came the week after, but it's clear to see though that there has been, you know, significant improvement, you know, in terms of A, protection of Brady, B, the run game, and C, fewer mistakes, fewer penalties.
Right, and give it up for the coaches that actually, you know, saw that there was an issue with. I mean, that's what the whole rest of the season is going to be about, is adjusting and adapting. And I think our coaches are pretty good at that.
Correct, absolutely correct.
But that's all I had, John.
Thanks, Chad. That's good stuff, Chad in Atlanta. 855 Pats 500. webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Kev, do we want to take a timeout before Eric? All right, let's do that. We'll jump in real quick for the timeout. Eric Friends covers the Patriots in the AFC East for Boston.com. He'll join us on Nitpick Tuesday, as he does every Tuesday, and we want to continue with your cards, your letters, your calls. What's been the bigger factor in the Patriots' offensive resurgence, Gronk's play or the offensive line? That's our question of the day. Which do you choose and why? Plus, if you got those nitpicks, keep them coming right here in the playbook.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Good headbanging stuff right there.
Good headbanging stuff going on the wall right now.
No kidding. It sounds like the roof is about to cave in here at the stadium. What the hell is going on around here? How long are we going to go here anyway? Where's Bill when you need him?
So how long are we going here?
So how long are we going here? We're going to go about 10 minutes or so. Eric Friends from Boston.com.
What's going on?
AFC East. I know. Hey, Eric, how goes the battle today?
It's going well. How about you, John?
I'm waiting for the roof to fall in. I really, literally am waiting with the pounding. I don't know if any of that is getting picked up over the microphone, so I have no idea if anybody can hear it, but it is loud and it's giving me a migraine. So, you know, I'll try to, keep from paying attention to it. But sometimes people forget, you know what? People have to actually to work around here during the week. It's not just all about Sundays, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't hear it on this end, so you sound fine over here, but.
All right. Good. I suppose. And if I, scream at somebody in just a moment, you'll know what I'm screaming about. What did you have any nitpicks of choice from Sunday night's darn near perfect show by the Patriots? I mean, quite frankly, it's really getting hard to and we're sort of stretching the bounds of all realism, I think, from week to week here over the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, I might have to ask to come on a different day because I'm running out of things to talk about on Nitpick Tuesdays. But right. The only thing that I could really think of to address was, a few times they let Luck get out of the pocket and extend some plays, but really didn't come back to bite them too much there down the stretch, especially as they, they kind of pulled away there and really kind of closed things out on a high note as they've done over the past few weeks.
I have to think that, part of what we've been talking about a little bit today and I'd love to get your thoughts on has to be, the fact that not only Gronk emerging to being the old Rob Gronkowski, but also the continued improvement and if not solidifying of the offensive line have each, helped, the Patriots onto this streak now where they, are scoring 40 points or more per game. The question that I actually asked today was, which do you think has actually had a bigger factor in the Patriots' resurgence? Do you have an opinion one way or the other?
In terms of Gronk or the offensive line, I would probably say, I would say Gronkowski only because I feel like that's really what, the offense has kind of run through him. And even on Sunday, when Gronkowski wasn't really a factor as much in the passing game, he only had the one catch for the touchdown, but he did, have a pretty big game in the running game as a blocker. I thought he was really key in that aspect, and certainly I think that showed up on the film. You just watch back, there were a couple of key blocks where he was, he pulled across the formation and blocked out a linebacker off the edge, and he was lead blocking a couple of times. It was pretty nice to see him get back in that role because over the past few weeks now, we've seen Gronkowski light up the stat sheet. But the only criticism that I've had of Gronkowski, and it's not even really a criticism, it's just what we hadn't seen from him yet, was what made him such a versatile dynamic tight end in years past, which was his ability to block. And we really saw that come back to fruition over the past couple of weeks, especially last week.
Sure. And I can understand why someone would make that choice as well, because it has been significant. He's turned into perhaps the most feared and maybe even the most undefendable guy, if there's such a thing, in the NFL over the last few weeks. I mean, his physical performances have been, have been eye-popping, to say the least, and he had a couple of more this last weekend.
Yeah, he certainly did, and I think, it's going to be interesting to see how it, kind of plays out down the stretch, because last season they didn't have him down the stretch, and that was really, I think it hurt them in the playoffs, but they had to kind of shift their offense to more of a running attack, and I think that they might be headed that direction anyway, even with Gronkowski in the mix. But I mean, that the running game really did come around for them down the stretch last season, and I think it'll be interesting to see if that is even more amplified with Gronkowski out there blocking.
All right, so now that we've, seen Gronk back, the offensive line back, and, Brady even had admittedly a silly play, a dumb play, I think, as he called it with the second pick late in the game, when he called an audible, and if he just stuck with the game plan, quite frankly, the Patriots wouldn't have been as close as it was on Sunday night. But where else can this team improve from here? I mean, it's almost getting a little bit scary.
Yeah, I still think that the only areas that really need improvement are the pass rush up front, which has really been, I think it's been more so affected by the injuries, and I know that should get better with Chandler Jones coming back at some point. You have to imagine sometime soon. The original diagnosis for him was reportedly a 4-week injury timetable for recovery, so So that'll be interesting to see if it gets better with him back in the fold. I mean, but the pass rush wasn't great even when he was on the field. So I don't think him coming back is really going to fix everything on its own. I think there's some element of, you know, other guys that have to produce. You know, Dante Hightower's done a really good job as a pass rusher this season, but the injury to Gerard Mayo kind of reduced what Hightower's probably going to be doing as a pass rusher over the rest of the season. I mean, we've seen him still blitzing a bit, but not really lined up as a defensive end as he was earlier in the season. Not really lined up, you know, a two-point stance on the edge like he was at outside linebacker earlier in the season. So I think they got to find some other ways to get after the quarterback besides just hoping that Chandler Jones comes in and saves the day.
Right. Okay. What were your thoughts overall on Jonas Gray and his performance? And by the way, I know that it's all over the Twitter sphere now, but league has officially adjusted Gray's performance to 201 yards rushing. They added 2 yards. And I had a feeling because he was so close that somehow, some way, they'd go back through the videotape and they would find a way to give him at least a yard. They ended up giving him 2. So his official carry total, 38 carries for 201.
That's an impressive day for Gray, and I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, I had an interview with him last week before the game, and every week I've been just trying to get to know a Patriots player a little bit better, and he revealed to me that he had opened for Screech as a comedic performance when he was at Notre Dame. He seemed like a pretty funny guy, and then it kind of caught fire in the days following the game, and I think it's been interesting to see how much attention that's gotten. But definitely did have a great game on Sunday. You know, I thought, you know, I would say 50% of what he did on Sunday was of his own accord. I mean, there were some really nice blocks for him, as I mentioned, with Gronkowski and the offensive line. But he had 201 yards, and he had at least 100 of them after contact. So the fact that he was just bulldozing guys over and really, I mean, making those yards on his own, I felt like that was something that the Patriots, you know, when they lost Stephen Ridley for the season, that was kind of what people were worried about, was would they have a guy who could get the job done between the tackles. And we know what Shane Vereen can do in a passing game and as a weapon in that area. And, you know, he has a couple of nice runs a game, and you'll get him on the outside and he'll have a big play. But he needed somebody who could really, you know, hammer it home between the tackles and could get the job done in that area. And I think Jonas Gray has the potential to do that for them.
I just watched him score his fourth touchdown, or I guess it was the third touchdown. I can't remember which one it was, but the one where Gronk pile drives Sergio Brown into the camera stand in the end zone there at the stadium. I just watched that again on NFL Network. It's even more impressive when you watch it over and over and over again.
It's interesting. You know, I think, you know, Sergio Brown was on Twitter yesterday talking about how he you know, covered Gronkowski very well in that game, and he certainly did. But and a lot of people were focusing in on, you know, the one play, the touchdown that Gronkowski had, and the block where Gronkowski knocked Brown out of the field, basically. But definitely, you know, that play, very impressive.
You know, speaking of that, I you know, just, you know, as an aside, Brown, on the tweets that he deleted, and I'm sure that there are some that are listening today that know this and others that don't know this, but the tweets he deleted talking about him, you know, using the term slap on Gronkowski, and I actually did not know this until recently, so maybe this is just, you know, my age in me or not, but the slap is sort of a euphemism for hurting, injuring a player, you know, putting the slap on him or whatever however they, you know, it's termed. And he said that in his tweets, that he's admitting in 3 of the 4 tweets that were later eliminated, he's admitting that he's the guy, he went out to hurt Rob Gronkowski. And Gronk, of course, had his arm broken on that PAT by Sergio. And then, I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are about that and whether or not that was really a smart thing to do.
I didn't see him say put the slap on him. I thought it said put the strap on him.
I'm sorry. Wrong word. Strap on him. And that's the euphemism that I was referring to.
Well, when I read it initially, when he said put the straps on him, I imagined it like strapping him down, like holding him down and locking him down in coverage, which I haven't had a chance to really focus in on that aspect. But, you know, like I said, Gronkowski really only had the one grab. So definitely, you know, I think if that's something that he was out to injure him, that's something they should look into, but I don't know if that's necessarily what he meant.
Well, all I know is that it was just made aware to me a couple of weeks ago that putting the strap on somebody was talking about hurting them. That's all I know. I had just heard that, and when he said that in those tweets, I'm thinking, now where have I heard that before? And then I heard that in another conversation, a social media conversation today, and I'm like, I wonder if that's what he meant. And then I'm just kind of wondering out loud here. I mean, wow, if that's what he really meant, if that is a modern euphemism for hurting somebody, I'm no wonder Gronk did what he did in pushing him into the camera stand there. He's basically trying to, you know, get a little payback. It looks like, you know, the Gronk has been angered a little bit here by Mr. Brown.
Interesting thoughts. I'm not really sure what to make of it all, to be honest with you.
Well, just food for thought, to be honest with you, Eric. That's all it is. Just a conversation starter. How about this for a conversation starter? LeGarrette Blount released by the Pittsburgh Steelers today. Should the Patriots take a sniff on him?
I'm not really sure. I mean, they have a pretty loaded backfield right now. You look at Jonas Gray. I mean, what he did on Sunday, they probably want to see more from him before they, you know, go out and sign somebody to replace him. And then, I mean, obviously Shane Vereen, what he adds in the passing game. James White, we haven't seen enough of really this year to get a read on him. Brandon Bolden, I mean, he's been mostly used on special teams. So I think, you know, right now I think it would be safe for them to just ride with what they have. I mean, even if Jonas Gray were to get injured, you know, they would have a couple of guys in James White and Brandon Bolden that have been in the system all season already. And Blount, I mean, I would say there's a reason they moved on from him. I mean, it wasn't like they missed out on him for, you know, a lot of money. I mean, he didn't sign for a whole lot with the Steelers to begin with. So, you know, if they wanted him, I'm sure they could have had him. And I think the fact they didn't sign him says a lot.
All right, fair enough. One final question for you, Eric, and it concerns the AFC East and the Miami Dolphins hanging right in the thick of things right now in terms of the wild card race. How much of an uphill battle do you think they're facing?
I don't think that either of them is really going to be a threat to the AFC East title this year. You know, I think they both, you know, kind of had a chance this past weekend to make some noise, but I mean, both of them kind of dropped the ball, losing to the Chiefs. On the Dolphins side, or on the Bills side, and the Dolphins losing to the Lions, and then, you know, obviously going head-to-head against one another, the Dolphins coming out with that win, that helps them stay in the hunt. The Bills now at 5-5, they're going to have an uphill climb, and it's going to be against some tough competition, but both teams actually have to play the Denver Broncos down the stretch,
right.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the both teams, if either of them is going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to earn it, so I think it's going to take no less than 10 wins for either of them to get there. That would mean the Bills would have to finish 5 wins and 1 loss. The Dolphins would have to finish with 4 wins and 2 losses. So definitely going to be tough for either team to do it. But I think they both. I think the Dolphins specifically have the weaponry to make some noise, because Tannehill's been playing a lot better down the stretch here, and the defense for them is just stellar. I mean, I'm always surprised every time I look at the film that I shouldn't be, because they've been good for so long. I think they've been a top 10 defense now for 4 years running. That group has a lot of talent, and I think they have a chance to make a playoff.
All right. Eric, thanks for the time today, as always. Good to talk to you. We'll chat again next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, John. Good talking to you, man.
All right, babe. Eric Friends covers the AFC East of the Patriots for Boston.com, joining us here in the playbook. I got a ton of emails that I need to get here to. So should we, Kev, should we get to some of these? Do we want to break? What do we want to do here? Give me a lay of the land.
And we'll reset, and then we'll come back and we'll do all emails.
Okay. So we'll do that. Well, actually, what we'll do is we'll reset now in terms of if you've got some thoughts about your nitpicks for Tuesday, for Sunday's game, or the question that we're asking, who's had a bigger role in the Patriots' turnaround on offense? Gronk or the offensive line? Got your chances to weigh in now. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. We're locked, and we're loaded, we're waiting for you, starting now.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Primetime stage, and certainly Lucas Oil Stadium electric at the outset. Edelman slap right with LaFell. Give to Gray. Runs it between guard and center right. He pushes to the end zone, and Jonas Gray has a touchdown for the Patriots.
Statement drive.
You know, it was a good win for our team today. I was really proud of our offensive line in the running game. Thought those guys really did a good job controlling the line of scrimmage.
Just run it right down their throat here.
Two, overload right. Brady out of the eye, hands it to Gray, runs it up the middle. Diving for a Patriots touchdown.
Can't stop it.
It was a great win. I thought, a real complimentary win. So defense played great, kept us in it all night.
Andrew Luck extends both hands, drops back in the gun, pumps, throws across the middle, ball batted away by Revis and deflected to McCourty. An interception for the Patriots. Devin weaves his way across the 30-yard line, and he's tackled from behind, dropped by Fleener. Play fake by Top, throws to the right corner of the end zone for Wright, pulls it in, tumbling for a Patriots touchdown.
Whatever it takes, I think there's games where you go in and, you know, we're not sure how well we're going to run it, but, you know, when it's going well, you just want to keep giving it to him. So he just had a great vision tonight.
First and goal to go from the eye. A give to Gray. Lowers the shoulders, running it right. In for a touchdown. His third of the evening.
It's like being the bully in the schoolyard. Hey, kid, give me my lunch money.
and then give me your bike.
You know, he did it for us in preseason. He does it for us every day out there on the practice field. He works hard, and I thought he ran hard tonight, ran real hard.
Brady under center, gives it to Gray. He runs it left. He runs it to the end zone for the fourth time. Touchdown, Patriots.
We took your lunch money, we took your bike, and now we're going to take your gold chains. Bullies in the schoolyard can't stop it.
There is no doubt on this night, a primetime performance by Jonas Gray. Gronk motions right to left, Tom backs up, throws for Gronkowski, makes the grab at the 20, spins away from the defender, stiff arms another, carries across the 15, to the 10, to the 5, Gronk leaps to the end zone, touchdown Patriots!
Beast mode, cannot stop him!
A lot of things the Colts were able to do here this year, fortunately they weren't able to do them tonight. Proud of what our guys did, players played hard, they definitely deserve to win tonight.
Good stuff, Kev. Good stuff from Bob and Zoe, and obviously a very, very, very impressive performance for the Patriots on Sunday night in Indianapolis with a 42-20 win over the Colts.
Beef?
Exactly. Where's the beef? I love the line, though. I have to admit, that was funny. The whole, going to take your lunch money, and going to take your bike, and then going to take your gold chains. That's actually pretty funny. I wonder how long he had to work on that. Oh, Zoe is just going to be Zoe. That's all you can say. Oh, my goodness. All right. On Facebook, that one got me going, Zoe. You got me going. Benjamin says, my nitpick, being dropped from the power rankings from 1 to 2. I understand the Packers did it in all three phases to beat the Eagles, but come on, it's Mark Sanchez. nitpick number 2, Brady's decisions in the first half. Yeah, that was one of my chief nitpicks as well. And then number 3, nothing special out of Amendola on special teams. We're on number 4, flags, 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 clean it up. Well, they actually did. They actually did clean it up. Only 5 penalties this week. And this is the first time, and I haven't gone back and looked at every article, every column, since we started doing the Tuesday nitpicks column, but I believe this is the first time that I have not mentioned penalties as a nitpick. So they did clean it up. 5 penalties is probably still 5 too many, but frankly, when you're playing a physical game, I think it's going to be damn near impossible to not commit at least one somewhere. As long as it's not egregious. And really, the only egregious one, you know, was the unsportsmanlike conduct on Gronk, and I think everybody understands why he did what he did. Now, if you're in a close game, you know, where you're just taking the lead or something, you know, and you're going to give team unbelievable field position because you're going to have to be kicking off from your, you know, 10-yard line. Okay, then you could certainly criticize him for that. But considering, you know, that gave the Patriots a 2-touchdown lead, I think that made it 35-20 when he committed that on Sergio Brown. Then, and afterwards how we, you know, learned that, you know, Brown had been yapping at him all game, and Brown was the guy that was responsible, you know, for him breaking his arm, you know, on that extra point block, PAT team a couple of years ago. And I guess, you know, seemed like there's some issues between those two players. Even though, ironically, they were teammates at one time here in New England. You can almost forgive it, though. Let's see, what else? All right, Soren sent the note about LeGarrette Blount being released by the Steelers. Should we pick him up, even with Gray playing the way he did last Sunday? And frankly, I think it'd be great if they picked him up, because then you have some insurance. And then you have a 1-2 punch that I don't know anybody that could defend it. Now, ultimately, they may decide they already have enough, and they've decided to move on, and they're not going to do that, and I can understand that decision as well. But if he's available, you can get him for a song and a dance, and he comes in and he understands his role, and those may be 3 pretty big ifs. But if, why not? It's not like he doesn't know the territory. It's not like he didn't have success a year ago. Tyler said, John, don't let a few listeners get you down. There are many of us who can't wait for the playbook to start back every season and tune in at every opportunity. I enjoy the idea of Nitpick Tuesday because it forces many of us to take off our homer caps and look back on what could have gone better. Bingo! Can somebody say bingo? Can we give him a Troy Brown bingo on that one? Because I think Tyler just got it.
Bingo! Bingo! I got bingo!
Thank you very much, Tyler. It in no way takes away from the success of the game. It doesn't prevent you or us from talking about the good as well. Some people just confuse the term nitpick with why your team suck. Heck, even the postgame show has the good, the bad, and the injured. correctamundo. That said, I brought my nitpick up with you during the game. Multiple times this season, we've seen the offense try to stretch the field on third and short and ultimately fail. While this is annoying in the course of any game, it was extremely frustrating Sunday when the run game was so dominant. Well, Tyler, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, that was partly, you know, behind the Brady nitpick was the decision-making in that process. And I think one was on him, and the other pick may have been on the particular play call coming from the sideline. SMH, my man, shaking my head. What else do we have here? Ah, here we go. Herman. John, this is off topic, but I just want to see if you can get me a connection with Steve in Killeen, Texas. I was in Killeen Sunday night for the game and remembered he lives here. So I wanted to see if you wanted to link up for the next Sunday night game. Maybe we can meet up at a Hooters and watch the game together. What else are you going to watch at Hooters? Going to have any of those naked wings? don't get me going on my sophomoric humor here. There really isn't any Pat fan down here in Texas. It'd be nice to watch a Patriot game with another diehard Pat fan. Okay, Herman. Listen, if Steve is willing, I've put it out there to him. So Steve, just reply in the affirmative, and I'll pass on your contact information. I'd be happy to be a love connection between the two of you. Let's go here to Diego. Says, biggest nitpick is Brandon Browner. The PFW boys talk about this all the time, but I really agree with them. Browner can't cover. I know he's physical, but it's not like he's blowing up receivers who dare to go over the middle. He gets called for penalties left and right. I still think the refs are being lenient with him. I don't know what happened to Dennard, but I would feel more comfortable if he was at least active. I've heard experts say that Revis Browner are the best cornerback tandem in the league, or that the Pats have the best secondary. I know we had success against Manning and Luck, but I saw a lot of open receivers on Sunday. I think Rodgers will pick us apart in 2 weeks, and I'm worried about meeting Manning again in the playoffs if he gets his weapons back. You bring up good points, Diego. I'm not sure about best corners in the league, but I would say they certainly rank amongst the top two or three. I'll tell you what happened to Dennard. He's behind the other guys. A, they really like the way that Kyle Arrington's been playing. And they gave Arrington a distinct role this past week, and I'm frankly amazed that, you know, even though he did have some help over the top from the safety, the job of that he did of keeping a guy like Hilton in front of him. And I think you gotta give kudos to him, because frankly I didn't think Arrington would amount to anything more than a somewhat serviceable nickelback. I'm beginning to think now that he's actually going to be able to provide some actual depth in that corner position, which is going to make the Patriots a stronger defense overall. They also really like Malcolm Butler. And I think, you know, they like the fact that Butler is bringing that, you know, undrafted, you know, chip on his shoulder, you know, rookie work ethic, as opposed to some of the other guys that are back there. And I'm not naming names, and I'm not necessarily pointing the finger at Alphonso Dennard. But again, these guys have said it time and time again, Diego. In practice, you prove it. You're rewarded with it in the game. So if you're, you know, frustrated over Dennard and or a guy, like Aaron Dobson, who can't seem to get off the inactive list, well, they just have to keep doing what a guy like Jonas Gray did. Keep working hard. Wait for your chance. Wait for your opportunity. Nothing is given to anyone. It's got to be earned. Roger says, John, I don't want to read too much into last. Oh, that's a Friar one. We'll save that for later. Paul says, John, great win in the weekend, but since it's Nitpick Tuesday, here goes. Brady, he was off his game in the first half, better in the second. Clock management. On a drive at the start of the fourth quarter, we were running it well, but snapping the ball was still 10 or 15 seconds left on the play clock. Game was still a contest. I think we should have milked a few more seconds. Boy, that's as good a nitpick as any today. Talk about really nitpicking. Woo! Looking ahead to Green Bay, we will be wanting to keep Rodgers on the sideline as much as we can, and a few more seconds here and there could make all the difference in a tight game. Now, that's a good point, Paul. I'll buy that. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, let me get to some of these emails because we've got tons of them here. Jay says, John and Kevin, listening to the postgame show, I heard Brady's first half performance, play calling, and Brandon Browner's coverage commented on most frequently. I was very surprised nobody mentioned Amendola's horrible decision-making when fielding kicks. Even I know that at the 5-yard line, you let it go into the end zone for the touchback. He also ran a kickoff out of the end zone when he should have taken a knee. I understand we need to have someone other than Edelman return kick so he isn't completely beaten up for late in the season. But seriously, isn't there someone else who might do a better job? Well, frankly, you're trying to maximize, Jay, what you're paying the guy to do. And because he's filling a similar role as a guy like Julian Edelman out there, I think this is a perfect spot for him. Now, say what you want, and you obviously did, and you've nitpicked about it, about his choices for running. But I, too, continually scratch my head at why guys have to receive the ball inside the 10. I thought there was always an unwritten rule by most coaching staffs on a ball that clearly is going to be inside your own 10. You let it go, and you take the chances on the defense, on the kick team, making an outstanding play. Because chances are they won't be able to field it cleanly, especially if the ball has any kind of spin or bounce to it, and the ball is going to go into the end zone or, you know, or what have you. Maybe it's more and more now that you understand that guys get down there faster, quicker, and have an opportunity to make a play on a ball more. Maybe you feel like that's better than getting pinned. But, you know, with a difference of only, you know, 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 yards at most, I'm trying to figure out why it's that big of a deal. That's the one that I'm kind of scratching my head on, and I'm just not sure why they do that. That's as good a question as any to ask. Maybe somebody should ask Danny that. In fact, somebody should probably ask Bill that. Because it is, it's a good nitpick. It really is. It's an excellent nitpick, Jay. Peter says, I swear if I hear one more person say this was a statement game or this will be a statement game, it's literally been a statement game since Cincinnati. When can we just say the Patriots are the best team in the NFL and that we don't need any more statement games to prove who we are? That's the one question today that I just don't think I can answer. Well, I pretty much have an answer for just about everything, Peter. I don't have an answer for that one. I'm just being honest. Stephen Killeen, list of nits are few. Frustration in Amendola's kick returns, yep. Also, as an aside to strap your yep, Mr. Brown, after being whipped, you shut your mouth and move on. Which he later did, by the way, Steve. He deleted those tweets and issued a sort of an apologetic tweet. That's not what he was saying, though. And he put the straps on Gronk. That's admitting to putting the hurt on him and injuring him. And I think the guy needs to be careful because if that ever, you know, if the NFL ever got a hold of that, and I'm sure someone's going to throw it out to the NFL anyway, quite frankly, it should be looked at. To brag about how you covered someone when they blocked and allowed you to be rolled on for 4 touchdowns, come on, man. He says, keep up the great work, John. Try not to get kicked out of Club Gronk. No kidding. No kidding. All right, Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. My nitpick is with all the doubters who have been proclaiming the greatness of each and every team the Patriots have been facing for the last 6 weeks and doubting the TB12 had weapons around him that were in any value. I will reiterate what I said last week. I'll take Brady's weapons and put them up against any in the league. Balance of my nitpicks are as follows. Taking a knee and not letting Gray get 200. Well, obviously, Howard, he was able to get that 200 thanks to the film review. Pass rush needs to improve. Kickoff should have been a safety. Bingo! There's another bingo right there, and Brady's decision-making in the first half. I wrote about this again on the Nitpicks and Nitwits column today. But it boggled the mind. Patriots had taken a 28-13 lead in the third quarter. Colts botched the ensuing kickoff that had flopped around like, you know, as I wrote today, early, like a wounded duck inside the 5-yard line. It was inadvertently kicked into the end zone, recovered by Indy. It appeared to be a safety. Ball had first been touched in play by the Colts, but the officials rule that the rule says that the ball had not been possessed by any player, and therefore the kick was a touchback. So my whole point is that, all right, let's say that you're back there and your receiver botches the kickoff. Ball slips through his, it goes right through his hands, and then just kind of flounders on the turf. Why shouldn't you just go up there and boot the ball through the back of the end zone to get a touchback? I think we've found a loophole in the nitpick. Well, that's a good one, too, Howard. Thanks for picking up on that. Jordan and Prince George. Mr. Rook, I love this show. Thank you. Mr. Rook's my dad. You and I think alike a lot. The only thing I don't like is you ranting and having to defend yourself and justify your thoughts. Respectfully, it wastes too much time. That's fair. Do what you do. You don't have to defend yourself. This is a great show. You're a great football mind, and you should have taken Sosie's job. I wish I had seen that before I just read it. No, no, no. Bob's a good guy. He's a good man. He's a good man. Do you think we should bring in Tim Tebow into play against Green Bay? I think that's a question better suited for Al and Valdosta. Love you, Al. Love you. Dan in San Antonio says, been a long-time listener to your show and PFW. Nothing wrong and enjoying various kinds of perspectives and thoughts. Your show makes me want to gather around the fire with my favorite Argyle sweater, smoking on a corn cob pipe. Oh, that's good stuff. Thank you, Dan. Tim in PA. I think it's the O-line, our question of the day, over Gronk. As much as Gronk has been a machine, and without him, we may not have won some games or won them as easily, still has to be the O-line. If the O-line was as bad as it was in the first few games, then Brady didn't even have the time to get the ball to Gronk. But with the increase in production of the O-line, Brady has time to get the ball to Gronk and company, and also the O-line has helped the run game as of late. It's picked the best of two goods, has to go to the O-line. Good stuff, Tim, in Pennsylvania. Next, Michael. John, quick question. Do you think if Revis wins a ring as a Patriot, you'd have to consider him more of a Patriot than a Jet? No. I think if he was able to stick around for another year, you might do that with the ring. But no, right now, I can't say that that's the case. Ultimately, it's going to be up to a guy like Darrell to decide that, I think. Let's see. Sergio from Chicago. John, I believe the biggest reason we're doing so well right now is because of our offensive line. Gronk has been amazing, but without the guys up front, Tom won't be able to give the ball to him. At the beginning of the year, when everyone was talking about Tom in decline, I always said Tom isn't declining. Give him time. He'll tear you apart. Okay. Good stuff, Sergio. You're right. RJ, Randy from New Orleans. First of all, I love the show. It was the first sports radio show that I've ever listened to, and it's awesome. Thank you, Randy. Secondly, if we're going to give importance to any part of this offense, profession, success, we have to start with the O-line and then Edelman. Gronk is awesome, but he progressed off their good play. He's integral to building up the other players in the entire offense, so I say everyone is built off of each other, including Brady. Also want to commend Jonas Gray on the offense, especially the O-line, for being much more physical. Nitpicks Brady's play, nitpick on the communication with the defense in the first half, and the last nitpick on the reps Tim did not get in the last game. John in Missouri. Hard to nitpick on much from Sunday's game, but there was one play that concerned me. As much as I enjoyed seeing Gronk kick Sergio Brown out of the club, I feel it was reckless on his part to lose his head. Yeah, I brought that up a little bit earlier, John. I think considering if it had been a closer game, it really would have been a great nitpick to pick on Gronk, but it did give him a 2-touchdown lead. So that's something anyway. Jeff in California, great win for the Pats. Nice to have something breathing room from those donkeys in Denver. But as for my nitpick, I'd have to go with the bye week format. I think the new CBA format, having players have at least 4 days off, has created more rust for some teams coming out of the bye. Thankfully, both teams had it this week, so it didn't bite the Pats. But Brady in particular was not sharp in the first half, and it looked like the rust was still coming off. I think that's a great point, Jeff. What if Indianapolis had not had the bye and the Patriots did? You could certainly make an argument for the Colts maybe being a little more ready. The NFL should make more of an effort to pit teams coming off of their bye week against teams also coming off of their bye week, if that can even be done somewhat in a formulaic manner. Gabe says, okay, it was a good win. It was nice to see that dedication to a run plan using Fleming, Devlin, even Gronk, and opposing their will on the defense. But my nitpick, hard to find one. Have to be the flip-flopping of the press and everyone's call for the Brady trade, end of dynasty, and now we're anointing this team as the best in the NFL. So we might as well give Tom the MVP, get our ring design into Justin's, and start carving the Patriots' name on the trophy now. How about we take each game like Bill does, like the 53 guys do, week to week, one game at a time? Good stuff. Thank you, Gabe. What else do we have? Luke, John, I sent prediction Thursday email in. I predicted a score 41-21. Whoa. Did you? I missed it. 41-21? What say the judges on that one? What do you think, judges? Sorry, Luke. Man, the judges are tough. He missed by 1 point either way. No kidding. All right, I kind of just went through it all. It's probably because you sent an email. I was basically looking at the Twitter account earlier today. Howard, I read Howard's here. Dagmar said, John, good win by the Pats. I have to say that although Gray had a franchise type of game regarding his touchdowns number, I saw something that worries me. He appears to run through contact while holding the ball on one hand. Interesting. I personally don't like that, especially when you're in the red zone and you expect a lot of contact. Remember seeing him balance his body while swinging his empty hand around the middle of contact? No, he wasn't trying to stiff arm anyone, so that would be my point. All right. Good point, Dagmar. We'll keep an eye out for that, to be quite honest with you, because if that could somehow get to be a problem, well, then if he fumbles the ball, you hope he doesn't. Dagmar, you might have hit on something. John says, love the game, little disappointed by Brady's first half, but he recovered well. My two nitpicks, play calling in the first half, and although the running game was truly dominant, I did miss the Brady throws to the end zone. Nothing wrong with scoring on the ground, but let's be honest, passing touchdowns are more exciting. At least he's, I guess, being honest here. Here's Herman. All right, you just sent me a, Herman, our friend Stephen Killeen just sent me a number. All right, so I will, I'll send it to you on Facebook and we'll create the love connection. How's that? Does that work for you? Mike says, the only nitpick I have is that obvious safety that Bill Damshire should have challenged. Come on, Bill. You're going to challenge a painfully obvious catch by Fleener, but not an equally painfully obvious safety? That deserves a nitpick. I don't know. I don't think he challenged it because I believe he was told the rule book states that the ball was not possessed in play. Therefore, you revert to the end result and ball was, you know, recovered in the end zone. So I think that's why he didn't challenge it, because he would have lost the challenge. So Gabe says, just to touch on the safety touchback rule, I think it relates to the Holy Roller game when the Raiders scored from a ball that was not possessed. It magically was a fumble and then changed hands and wound up into the end zone for a score. Could very well have done that. Could very well have done that. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week on the program. Don't forget, though, that the Fantasy Football Champs are coming up next here on Patriots.com Radio. Tomorrow, we kind of turn the page a bit, obviously, and talk about the Detroit Lions. Still very strong in the NFC, right there neck and neck in the NFC North with the Green Bay Packers. Let's not jump over the Lions, kids, as several of our listeners and emailers have just mentioned. Got to focus on this week first, and the Lions bring in the number one ranked defense in the NFL. You go from the number one offense to the number one defense. Now, I know there are a few of you that believe that that defense can stop the Patriots' juggernaut on offense of late, but if they can, how would they do it? That's what we'll spend a lot over the next couple of days talking about right here in the Patriots playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.